Sotapanna is the stream entering. So, can he be born in hell or the wolf of pain in order to become Sakatagami, Anagami, and Arahata?
The answer is no. So the reason is just because of having experienced
the strength of the Rokutrapanya, which experiences Nibbana.
Means that the conditions for the past karma to bring results.
Upachetakama, upakatakama.
That just stop. Wipes out the past karma. And also a question about reviewing consciousness after the Vakuntra Pitas have arisen. According to the text, sometimes there is the reviewing of
in Pali Pachavekana.
Sometimes there is the reviewing of the Kilesa eradicated, but not always. Is that right? And why did Mahanama, as a Sakadagami, why did he ask the Buddha what has been eradicated?
No matter it's Mahanama or whoever, who can be so wise like Buddha himself to know everything? So it depends on the individual's development of understanding. But Mahanama himself knew that he wouldn't be born in Wolf of Plain at all. But he did know how much Kilesa which is left.
Because what it seems from reading the text is that the Pachawekana is always reviewing of the path and of Nibbana, but it depends on the accumulations, where there is the reviewing of the Kilesa eradicated.
I think that at moment of enlightenment, when Sotapattimagga arises, and Panya knows that the wrong view is completely eradicated. But what is left, it depends who can know how much one has accumulated. What is left for different people are different by accumulation. I think that usually people read and think about people in the old days. What about this moment? See, we skip this moment all the time. Passing on, get over it from moment to moment to moment.
I have another question about the Eightfold Path. We talk about right livelihood occurs when there's an opportunity to refrain from wrong livelihood, and likewise with right speech and right action. But at the moment of the Eightfold Path, they all arise. But why is it right livelihood? It's not like you're doing your job, so to speak. Right livelihood means, isn't it how you maintain your life, like the work you do? Is that the livelihood it speaks of?
The way one lives?
The way one lives, yeah.
For example, some people might lie for their living.
Yes.
But for Sotapanna, not for living, never lie. If one lie, not for living,
so
for fun.
It's the same as abstaining from wrong speech, but in the course of one's livelihood. So it's a different chetasika. So for example, if there's wrong speech now, it has nothing to do with one's livelihood. But if it's in the course of one's work, and one abstains from that wrong speech, then
so
it's
why,
in the course of one's livelihood.
Okay, so then when they all arise together at the moment of Lokuttara, why right livelihood? Why does that come into it?
You say that whenever the viruti jetasika arises, at that moment it's the jetasika which abstain from ill deeds temporarily. But when it's Lokuttara citta, all these three jetasika perform the function of absolutely, not temporarily.
Okay, so never again after
never
that.
Never again.
So it's a little bit different. Okay, that explains. Thank you.
That's from livelihood. There was a question recently where we were looking to buy a shop. So we were going to own this shop, but the people renting it were doing things that I wasn't sure whether were right livelihood. Do you think that it's wrong livelihood for the part of the person who owns the shop?
I don't think so, because it depends on jetana, jetasika, one's own.
So one's intention is simply to rent it out, not to run that business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right livelihood if one runs a shop and one sells cigarettes and drinks, or if one works in a restaurant and one's serving alcohol to people, and whether
according to law.
According to law.
So what was the answer there?
According to any problem?
So we cannot know the accumulation for each person.
Just depends on the cheetahs at the time. You mean those that we sell the things to, we don't know their accumulation?
Not the seller, you're talking about the person who's receiving.
There was a story about Asotapanna and her husband. The wife was Sotapanna and the husband,
the hunter,
right. See?
She was prepare everything for him, prepare the bow and arrow for him.
So was she held responsible?
No.
Because she was so
she's just helping him, right?
She couldn't stop him.
Waiter at a restaurant is not the seller anyway.
I had that problem too when I was nursing in an operating theatre when they were doing abortions. And a few of the nurses refused to do that because they felt, even though they weren't actually doing a particular deed, they were assisting, and so a few of us chose not to be involved.
In this case, she knew his accumulations, but sometimes, like you sell the cigarettes or the drink to someone, you have no idea about their accumulations. In this case, she knew it, but she can't help him.
According to the law, it's okay or not, because not law.
Which law?
Selling cigarettes.
It is lawful, except if it's under 18.
Isn't there somewhere that says trading in alcohol is wrong livelihood? So if you owned a shop where there was trading in alcohol, you owned the business that sold alcohol,
that's
wrong livelihood.
Livelihoods to be avoided. Different from wrong livelihood.
Is it?
Yeah, wrong livelihood, as I understand it, is... Well, if you are encouraging another person to drink in the course of your livelihood, then that's a moment of wrong livelihood. So, obviously, if you are running a business that sells alcohol, then there's a lot of wrong livelihood there, but not necessarily every moment is wrong livelihood.
I've never heard it put that way. That's quite cool.
Just getting back to something we were discussing earlier about resolving to follow the precepts, ratsin ha, for example.
What do you mean by that?
Well, let's say people are discussing like this about the virtues of sila, and someone decides to try and observe sila. I think you said to Vince, well, who is wanting to follow sila, implying that there'd be a lot of idea of self involved there, but there could also be some gusala involved. I'm not talking about just taking the precepts as a formality. But
So if it's not formality, what is it?
I was wondering if it could be gusala or not, but if it must be all idea of self.
When we talk about gusala and agusala citta, we can understand better than thinking about whether it is gusala or not gusala.
Right. Yeah.
For example, you've said about rapsinha. What do you mean?
Well, like people ask the monk to recite the precepts and they recite it after the monk, for example.
And is it gusala or agusala?
Well, you can't really say it,
what
you?
About the intention, our own resolution to not to kill at any time, because when we were young we might have such idea that I wouldn't kill at all by oneself or by accumulation, such resolution or intention, is that not samadhana?
Yes.
Is it necessary to tell anyone?
No.
Or if we follow the word giving us or saying for us to repeat,
yes,
is that gusala? Or do we really have intention?
That's right.
The samadhana sila is the moment of having intention to abstain from ill deeds.
Yes. What do you call it? Samadhana.
Samadhana.
And is that an aspect of sila, or is that
other kind of gusala? Because I think that people just follow the word, but they do not have intention at all. After that, they are the same.
Yeah. Or even if they think they have the intention, it's not necessarily gusala.
Once one has it, one follows it, not just once I have today, tomorrow I will have intention again.
Yeah.
So no one samadhana sila, five precepts in the Buddha's time.
No one.
Just say, I have Buddha and Dhamma and Sangha as sarana, refuge only, which means following the precepts and all kusala as well.
Yes.
So it depends on kusala citta and akusala more than formality.
Right.
Understanding the value at different levels.
By nature, because all sankhara khanda perform the functions unknowingly all the time, from moment to moment. How come to think like this, see, by sankhara khanda? We think differently all the time.
This morning we were talking about difference between vijnana and jetasika, and you said at a moment of seeing now, is it vijnana or the jetasikas? I suppose it's a concept of the whole, the citta and the jetasikas.
This is thinking.
Thinking.
If there would be awareness right now, what object is it of which awareness?
If it's seeing consciousness, I thought that would be the citta and jetasikas.
Can you experience citta and jetasika together?
I had the idea that you sort of could, but obviously...
But awareness is aware of citta and jetasika together, or just one at a time?
It'd be one at a time.
One at a time. So even we do not say that now there is the development of understanding of that element which now sees.
Mm.
We don't have to say that it is seeing consciousness.
No.
But the characteristic of that which experiences visible object is there. So under the subject about cittanupassana sthipatthana and vedananupassana sthipatthana and dhammanupassana sthipatthana, in order to really be direct awareness of citta has to begin. Otherwise, it's just only saying that the citta sees, that element sees.
But under cittanupassana, it talks about citta with dosa and citta without dosa, citta with lobha, citta without lobha.
Right. So, so when anger arises, there is the idea about it, or there is awareness and understanding it as a reality.
The actual citta itself.
The actual characteristic of that reality. So one can separate, distinguish citta and cetasika only by satipatthana.
And when sati is weak and not highly developed, then there's no clear distinction. If there's awareness of seeing.
Otherwise, there would be all vipassanayana if it's as clear from the very beginning.
We always talk about the conditions for seeing as being visible object, eye base, and contact. Why doesn't it say karma, which is the number one condition? Why does it just mention...
Does paccaya appear right now when there is no understanding of any reality at all?
Right.
And paccaya parikaha jnana is the second jnana, not the first one.
Right.
Not knowing nama as nama, how can there be the understanding of its paccaya?
I see. But then when it talks about visible object, eye base, and contact, there's also no awareness of eye base, for example.
No.
So why would it mention these as the conditions rather than karma?
When we read, it helps one to understand the anatta-ness conventionally.
Because other conditions like karma are more refined.
Without conventional understanding, when awareness arises, there is no condition to detach from clinging at all. But by having developed a lot of conventional understanding, so when awareness arises, it can understand, even gradually.
Isn't it important, even from the beginning, I'm talking about conventionally, to understand that seeing is a result of karma? So I'm just wondering in the suttas why they always refer to
To help one to see the anatta-ness. Because there must be the three rounds of the Ariyasaccha, not just one round.
But could we also say that in the instance Sarah's talking about, when they give the conditions for seeing as being visible object, eye base, and light, these are the immediate conditions, as it were, not, whereas karma is a past condition.
Even one keep on thinking or saying that seeing is nama, just that is not enough. But by knowing that even is nama, it needs conditions for its arising, and it needs its object
right.
too,
right.
and it needs its base too.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
So otherwise, I see all the time. Even seeing is not I, it's nama, that is not enough. That's why Buddha taught for 45 years.
Okay, I just have a question which I think Vince and Nancy might like about quiet time. So when is quiet time wrong practice? Well, a lot of us like to have quiet time. Time to listen to the Dharma, or time to reflect, or time to read. Or when I said to you, oh, I like quiet time for reading quietly, you just said, oh, it's attachment. But maybe if one doesn't have that quiet time, one will never reflect.
The development of Satipatthana is to eradicate defilements. And the defilements that should be or must be eradicated is also clinging. If we cannot see clinging, we cannot eradicate clinging at all. It doesn't matter wherever you are. If you are here and awareness can arise, it's all right. If you are in the theater and awareness can arise, it's good, right? Because it's awareness. Or when you are in a quiet place and awareness can arise, it's all right. Because awareness is awareness. It can arise at any time. But is there no clinging when it arises? Because you like to have it in a certain place. But if you don't mind or care, because there is the firm foundation of understanding of reality as not self, no matter is kusala or akusala. Akusala is not self, kusala is not self, seeing is not self, everything is not self. You don't have the hindrance to keep you away from having sati at any time or any place. If we understand the characteristic of awareness, the usefulness of awareness, whenever it arises, you know that it's not by your will or by your intention, but by conditions. And it will be different from when you think that you have a lot, but it cannot arise when it's not at that particular place. So if there is detachment from clinging to the result, and there can be conditions for right awareness to arise at any time, any place. Is that not better? Not clinging to it, and when there are conditions, it arises, and there's no attachment to it either. Otherwise, there must be attachment even to sati and panya. No way to have less attachment. So it needs courage. Brave enough to fight with lobha, conventionally.
So you agree it's good to fight with lobha?
With what?
With wisdom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What else can you do, really? That's right, I remember now, grit your teeth and...
Ask the teacher about gritting your teeth.
Well, it's in the sutta. You know the sutta. If there's unwholesomeness arising, you should think of the Dharma, you should do this, you should do that, you should do everything you could possibly do. Try have awareness of the Dharma. Mm-hmm. But if nothing works, then you grit your teeth and you force the...
And is there awareness after that?
Well, to grit your teeth, there's got to be awareness. Otherwise, you wouldn't grit your teeth.
Awareness, right understanding, right awareness, is aware of a reality. No matter what are you doing.
So what consciousness makes you grit your teeth?
It depends, with or without understanding.
So what did the Buddha mean when he said grit your teeth?
For a certain person who suits.
If it's your habit.
Not for everyone.
No, not for everyone, but we may be one of those people that it suits.
For some people, biting their tongue or something like that, or press your tongue, I don't know. Yeah. Anything will do.
I think it's figurative. To me, it doesn't mean literally. More figurative to say, well, you try very, very hard to not. For example, if you have a strong gilesa coming up to perform a very strong, unwholesome act, that you may struggle with it, you may think of the Dharma, you may go to the temple and pray to get rid of this strong, whatever it happens to be. But if nothing else works, you just do whatever you have to do not to
right.
perform
and
that action.
After all,
Well, hopefully you won't perform it.
The purpose is...
Don't forget, when we talk about some strong neck agusala,
yeah, I know.
We could talk about even killing someone.
So it depends on the person's accumulation and conditions for that particular moment to do whatever one does at that moment. But after all, what about right understanding and right awareness? It's there in Tipitaka as well. It doesn't mean that he stopped there. No development of understanding and right awareness. We have to know that all the teachings are satipatthana.
So
not just stop there.
So what would be your suggestion? If somebody wants to do something very terrible...
My suggestion is having panya accumulated so that panya can arise with right awareness. Or any level of kusala can arise.
The reason one is being besotted by some strong agusta is because the panya is not there, let's face it. So when one is in the middle of this whirlwind, what should one do?
Do whatever conditions.
Whatever conditions will help you not to perform this negativity.
Yeah. Usually we think of future or planning, but what about whatever happens if someone is doing like that? It's completely conditioned.
Oh, yeah.
So there can be right understanding of whatever it is.